Morning, how you doing? All looking happy now. You're with it on the program. Good. Tough crowd. Jesus. How you going? Mate, I'm good. I tell you, I'm honestly good. Feel something on the inside of me. Feel like I'm ready for the next stage. What about you? Hey, man, are you ready? Or is it life going to be just, like as Papa says, me and you and a dog named Boo for the rest of your life, huh? No, God's got bigger than that. Yes. Go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, and I'll show you why. Because I believe that God wants to bless us. Yes. Not just a normal blessing message, but God wants to bless us. Do you believe that? Hey, do you believe it?
Yes.
Who believes I'm wrong? Because this is what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's the Bible. So a little bit of interaction this morning. What's a blessing mean to you? Talk back to me. Favor of God. I like that.
Providence.
The providence of God. Okay, what else?
Health.
Certainly, if you're healthy, you are blessed. Guess what? If you're not healthy, you're still blessed. It's true. See, sometimes we've got a very human idea of what blessing means. Anyway, let's go to the text this morning. Actually, we might just stand and we'll pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for this community of faith. We thank you that you've called us, that you've brought us here this morning, brought us here to hear your word. Father, I thank you that there's an assignment, Lord God, that is over this community of faith. Lord, that's unique, it's individual, it's us, it's what we're called to do. Father, I pray that you'd raise us up, Lord God, to fulfill our assignment. Lord God, I pray that you'd just raise up a people in this house that would so want to do your will.
Yes.
Father, I thank you that you've got more for us.
Yes.
Father, you are a God of over.
Yes.
You're a God of above.
Yes.
You're a God of beyond.
Yes.
You're a God of increase.
Yes.
You're a God of just generosity. You're a God of limitless boundaries.
Yeah.
You're God of the breakthrough.
Yeah.
You're a God of the impossible.
Yeah.
I say that. You are a God of the impossible.
Yeah.
Come on, say it. You're a God of the impossible.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
He's a God of the impossible.
Yeah.
Michael, what did I just say?
He's a God of the impossible.
Good. Talk to the person next year. You're a God of the impossible. He is a God, not you. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, yes. Very good. Better get to my notes here. All right. God wants to bring you into a new place of blessing. Okay, I'm going to talk about that because God wants to bring you into a new place of blessing. Yeah, you're not on my frequency yet. You've been watching the news or something. God wants to bring you into a new place of blessing. He wants to bring city builders into a new place of blessing. I actually believe when we get up from here and we go to the Cobb and Co Stables, that's going to be a season of incredible blessing for City Builders Church. It's going to be for me and it's going to be you for you personally. Now, I just don't want to give you a bless you message this morning, like a traditional bless you message. But this is what the Bible says, that God has put every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places that we need to complete our assignment. Amen? God's put everything there. It's in the heavenlies. But we have got to be a people of faith who can bring everything that we need from the heavenly realm down into the earth realm so that our world can become changed. Because God is going to change our world. He is. He's going to change our world. And guess who he's going to use? You. Mia. Hope you're enjoying your coffee. She's just hiding behind that cuppa there. God's going to use you to change the world. Don't pray, God, change the world. God, pray, help me to be everything that I've called to be so that I, with my brothers and sisters, can change the world. That's what it's all about. Now, let's read together and we'll see where we go with this. Now, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I'll show you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I will bless you. Just say that with me. I will bless you. He's talking about us this morning. He's talking about Abraham then, but he's talking about us this morning. He's talking about you. You can put your name there, Michael. I will bless you and I'll make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Whenever God blesses us, it's not so that we can just have blessing, all this good stuff come towards us, but God is literally wanting to change us so that we can become a blessing in our world. I'll bless you and I'll make your name great and you shall be a blessing. Hey, guess what? I'm a blessing. Some people just haven't caught up with that revelation yet. You're a blessing. Amen. Anita, you are a blessing. Joanne, you are a blessing. Say yes. Erin, you're a blessing. Yeah. Mia, you're a blessing. Come on, guys. Sam, you're becoming a blessing. All right, I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to increase you. I'm going to cause you to abound. I'm going to cause you to become a bigger person. I'm going to cause you to become a breakthrough individual. I'm going to cause you to become a person of faith, not just a regular little church goer. I've got more for you than that. That's a prophetic word over you this morning. I'm going to make you a blessing. Now, this is it. When you become a blessing, in other words, when you come onto God's team, you have become very important. And this is what it says next in that verse. It says, I will bless those that bless you. You know, people that bless me, God's going to bless them because I'm on God's team. Now, if anybody curses me, this is what the Bible says about them. It says, I'm going to curse them. Don't pick on God's sons and daughters. Don't pick on my kids. Can you relate to that? Sometimes you can see mothers that are like she bears and it's because somebody picked on their kids. Well, God's like that with his sons and daughters. Now, you're very slow, very cold this morning, very off the frequency. What did you watch last night? Huh? No, you haven't even got your jumper on. Sometimes we've been just listening to the wrong stuff. And we've got to come right into where God wants us to be because God wants to bless us. I'm going to bless those who bless you and I'm going to curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Don't the families of the earth need to be blessed? Is this right? Well, it's through you, all the families of the earth. Now listen, God wants to bring blessing to every person in this city. He wants to do it. He wants to bless them. He wants to rebuild the families. He wants to put them back together again. But you are the source of blessing. Now, blessing is just not helping somebody. It's just not doing nice things for them. It's not just serving them nice in the shop or buying them a coffee. That's blessing them. But blessing is different to that. If you can catch this, it'll change the way you think. Because when you say it's... What did you say? Were those words you gave me before? I asked you the definition of blessing. Favor of God, that's pretty close. But it's even bigger than that. It's when something gets infused with God. That's what blessing means. In other words, you've just got you. And all of a sudden, God comes along and he takes himself and he puts himself on the inside of you. He deposits himself on the inside of you. And now you've become blessed because God lives on the inside. Amen? You know, so sometimes when they baptize kids, they throw water over them and they say, "I bless you." All it does is makes the child wet, really. Blessing in this spiritual sense is far greater than that because God's coming from the outside to the inside. Is that good? So you can say, "I'm blessed." Say it, go, "I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm not cursed. I'm blessed. I'm God's favored son. I'm God's favored daughter. He likes me. He's in me. He loves living in me. He has a purpose for me." That's what it means to be blessed. And if you keep telling yourself that, you keep believing that, your name, your life's going to change. See, we brought everything down. Do you know what? I just thought this morning we're a bit down. You know, we shouldn't have to encourage and inspire you every morning. You should walk in here on Sunday morning. You should think, "God has done something this week. I've been with God this week. He spoke to me this week. He's living through me this week." So you said, "How am I doing?" "I'm doing great."
Yes.
I have challenges like you. But do you know what? Challenges are good. God sends challenges. God allows the lion and the bear to come at you. God actually sets it up because he wants you to become blessed. He wants you to become stronger on the inside. He wants you to become like a lion. The Bible says the righteous will roar like a lion. I'm talking to you. The righteous will roar like a lion. Do you know what? People are so quiet, conservative, well-behaved, politically correct, trained by a system, taught by a system. But you're not called to be part of a system. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're more. Say this, me, or I'm more. Oh, yes. Come on. You're more. You're more than just a regular doctor. You're not going to be just a regular doctor. You're going to be a supernatural doctor. Hallelujah. Amen. Imagine that. You're not called just to be regular. Not you. Everyone else can, but not you. I just got to stir you up this morning and get you to a place where you begin to believe, because you're believing the same stuff for so long that you've worn a little rut in your life and nothing can change because of the pathway you've been walking in. But do you know what? God's going to change our nation. This nation is going to become the great south land of the Holy Spirit. And it can't happen until you get the vision, until you determine you're going to be part of the solution. Amen? So this is what it says. I'll bless you. And if anybody picks on you, I'm going to fight on your behalf. That's what it says. So when people come out against me and say stupid things about me, I don't get overly worried about it now. I used to get, "Oh my God, I must have done something wrong. I must have hurt their feelings." Now I just don't care because I am blessed. My Father is God. My big brother is Jesus, the Lord. So look out. Don't pick on me. Amen. You with me? See, what it is, it's the way we think that's got to change, because everybody, do you know there's a thing on the earth called groupthink? This is the box. This is how groupthink works. The media talk about it. The school system talks about it. The universities talk about it. The politicians talk about it. And it's groupthink. Everybody thinks in the box. But we are not called to be like that. We are called to be creative. We are called to be supernatural. We are called to be blessed. We are called to be more. We are called to be city takers. City takers. Nation changers. Nation builders. This is what we're called to be, but we've reduced everything down to our box. Wow, that's amazing. Don't live there. Don't live in that cage. Break out. And this morning you're going to hear some just vital keys on how to. Because this is really interesting. You see, I spoke about how Abram, he came out. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, his name was Abram, his father was Terah. Remember last Sunday I talked about how his father was a moon worshipper. Yeah. So, you know, we can love our parents, we can love our previous life, but our previous life represents exactly that, our previous life. And God began to speak to Abram and he said, Abram, there's a reason I'm calling you, and if you read the book of Genesis, you'll find out why that is. But Abram, I'm going to bless you, and I want you to come out from your past, and I want you to come to a new place that I'm going to bring you, because that is a place I'm going to show you, and I'm going to build you in that place. I'm going to make you in that place. I am going to make you, God said to him. I am going to make you a nation. But hang on, I'm Abram. I'm 75 years old. Have we got any? We haven't even got many people older than that in here. But at 75, God said, now's the time. Just whispering in one another's ears there. Faith statement from the pastor. Being nice to you. 75 years of old, God begins to speak. Up until then, he was regular, average, wandering around, limited, doing what his dad had taught him, limited by culture, groupthink. That's how people live. But we were never called to live like that. We're not called to be average. City Builders is not going to be an average church. It's not going to be. We're here for the nation. We're here for the city. We're here for the people on the street, the men and the women that are lost. But we are called to be blessed. I'll tell you why I'm reading this, because this is literally our story. Because I was brought up in a family. And it was a good family. I had a really good dad. But along the way, Lynn and myself began to open our hearts to the Lord. And then when we're in Bendigo, we were having a great time in Bendigo. But then the Lord started to speak, didn't he? And he said, get out from this place to a place that I'm going to show you. And he literally uprooted us. I remember it's the only time I worked for the bank at the time. It's the only two moves in the bank where I had the choice of where I went. And the bank came to me and they said, your job here is coming to an end. Where do you want to go? And we prayed about it. And the Lord said, Albury Wodonga. And the Lord took us in the bank there and we ended up in the Twin City Christian Centre. Great church. And we found, you know, the patterns that were put in us in that church in the early days, I still live out of them now. And then there came a time we'd been there for a couple of years. It was just a beautiful, beautiful place. And the Lord started to say, I'm going to move you again. And I go, where to, Lord? And I could see this valley with lights in it. And I'd never, ever been to that place. I saw it in a vision several times. And I went to the bank and they said, we're going to move you out. Where do you want to go? And I said, Latrobe Valley. And the Lord moved us down here. See, this is literally the pattern, because my family, although they love me, they're very strong in their religion. They're very strong in their religion. And God wanted to break me out of religion. Do you know what? God wants to break you out of religion. Religion is a counterfeit of the real thing. God wants to break you out of there. I tell you what, you know, I believe this morning God wants to break some people out of their prison bars. He wants to break you out. He literally wants to set you free. If you can imagine yourself in a cage, because sometimes that's how we've been living, and we've been the product of the group think around us. And Jesus wants to walk up to your cage and he wants to unlock you, and he's saying, come out. It's an amazing thing. You know, have you ever seen an elephant that's been pinned down and has just got a chain going to a star picket in the ground, and you think, why doesn't it just shake its leg and break free of that? Because what happens when the elephant is little, the chain is put around the leg of the elephant when it's tender and pull very tight. And when the elephant begins to move its leg, it experiences pain. So when it grows up to be a big elephant, it is trained, although it is a mammoth animal, it will not break the chains that have held it. It's been trained. That's what society is like. That's what I can be like. That's what you can be like. You know, it took me a while to break out, and I'm breaking out. I don't like being in a cage. I don't like being in there. As soon as someone confines me in any way, as soon as I get the feeling somebody's trying to confine me, I start to go internally. And that's what you need to do. The Bible says, don't be conformed. Don't be conformed. Don't listen to everything that you're told. Don't listen to everything you read in the paper. Don't listen to everything you read about the news. Don't believe everything you hear politicians and teachers and academics say. Don't believe. What did I say? Shout it out. Don't. What do we say? Now listen. You know, if an academic tells you your heart's in there, it'd probably be smart to believe it. But I'm talking about the other stuff. The humanistic philosophy. The deception, the lies that are coming through our education system and every other system. God's called you to break out. God wants you to break out of your cage. Amen. How would you know if you're in a cage? You're probably feeling it react as I'm talking about it. You're probably thinking, what is this guy on about? Or you could be feeling something shaking on the inside, because God wants to set you free. Amen. Jesus came to set the captives free. It's a gospel. It's huge. You're not called to live in a cage. You're not called to be confined. You're not called to be bound in these four walls. You're a son, you're a daughter. The earth is yours. Sons and daughters will inherit the earth. Amen. Amen. People have been so trained to come to church. Now, I love it when you do. And I don't suggest I'll get a little bit ticked off if none of you are here next Sunday. But you are called to be a son, a daughter. And the Bible says that sons and daughters will inherit the earth. Sons and daughters will rule. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Did you hear that? What's it say? Sons and daughters will
prophesy.
What will they do?
Prophesy.
Well-behaved Christians will come to church, listen to the pastor, and go home and do absolutely nothing about it, except say, that was a good message. But not sons and daughters. What are you? We've been talking about it. What are you? Turn to the person next to you and say, what are ya? Now answer it. What are you?
I'm a daughter.
Yeah? What's that look like? What's that feel like?
I think there's such freedom in it, really.
Yep.
You, and like, there's a great peace and joy in that. knowing who you are in Christ. Oh God, like, yeah.
That's good. Sons and daughters will prophesy. I walked up to her this morning and I said, what did I say to you?
I'm a prophet to my family.
She's a prophet to a family. Yeah. Do you know what? Her family needs a prophet. Yeah. There's one in every family, I'm sure. Ooh, I think that could be you, Mia. Prophets are often the sharp edge of the blunt edge of the axe. Her mum was there and I said, and she said, oh, she maybe could, you know, develop a bit of grace. I said, no, hang on, she's got a heck of a lot of grace, because prophets don't always sound like they've got grace. You're good. You're just the way I'm training you. You go for it. You go for it. Yeah, come on, stand up. Stand up. This girl's a prophet. She's going to prophesy into the realm of business. You are. You're going to be blessed in business. You are going to be blessed. You are going to be blessed, but not for you. You're going to be blessed so that others can be blessed. But your voice is going to be like a sharp sword, Aaron. People say she hadn't got grace. Look at her. Of course she has. She's just a prophet. My sons and daughters will prophesy. Do you reckon? Is that talking about someone else in this room?
No.
It's talking about you. And you're going to speak into the realm of politics. You're going to be like a blunt instrument in the area of politics, because people won't be able to get round you. They won't be able to manipulate you. Why? Because you're a daughter of the King. You serve something far greater than politics. So she's on the executive of the Young Liberals in Victoria. Awesome. Prophesy into it. Speak into it. Because she's found a voice, little bro will. Mum called him Samuel. Do you know who Samuel was? In the Bible. You were named after that bloke. She just didn't go, oh, little baby Samuel. Samuel was the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. Yeah. You got a name, man. Yes. You better start living up to it. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. God wants to bless you. When you start becoming what God's called you to be, you are really blessed. Yes. When you are trying to be what someone else made you to be, that is living in a prison. Most Christians, most of them are living in a cage of self-confinement. They put themselves there. But not you. You ain't going to live in any prison cells. And because you're blessed, because you're finding out who you are, you're going to speak to people behind the bars and they're going to get set free. You're going to be just like me. More grace, of course. Mum will be sorry she ever said that. Anyway, she'll tell me if you're playing up too, don't you worry. What about you? What about you?
What about me?
What about you? Are you...
I'm a daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a daughter.
Whose daughter are you?
God's and yours.
God's and mine. Didn't she answer that well? I'm her dad. And I'll be like that to many of you. But let me tell you this, whose daughter she is. Before she's my daughter, she's God's daughter. Before she's my daughter, I'm a steward. God gave me a beautiful daughter. And I'm raising her up to be everything she's called to be. I love her. I put my arm around her and say, you're beautiful. You inspire me. Do I say stuff like that to you? Also say, make your bed. See, my job is to raise her up, but she's going to go further. She's going to go further. She's going to do better than her dad. She is not going to live in a cage. She's made of good stuff. She's a daughter. When she's a little girl, we homeschooled her. And I remember we went down to the Warwick Primary to do something there. It was something, and we thought, oh, that'll be good for our kids because they're homeschooled. And this kid started from the school started to pick on Anita. She got a pointy stick and she poked him. She's nobody's slave. She's nobody's slave. You are nobody's slave. Stop thinking like a slave. Stop doing what everybody tells you. Stop living in confinement and conformity. You're a son. Mia, you just are born for this. You know, in the realm of natural healing, you're going to do that, you know, like medicine. But there's another dimension to you. I've seen it since you walked in the door. So you get yourself trained up. You say, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to get trained by this man and these people, and I'm going to become a prophet in my generation. Can you imagine if you got the God factor? Like doctors resist the God factor. But when you find a doctor that has the God factor, you've found something. There's a doctor in Bendigo when I went through burnout years ago. I didn't know what had happened to me, but I basically had a nervous breakdown in 2001. And someone referred me to a doctor in Bendigo. And he said, he can help people who've been like you. So I just made an appointment. I went to him, went into this doctor's office. And he said, what's wrong with you? And I said, I think I'm burnt out. What are the symptoms? Can't sleep, losing weight, don't want to talk to anyone, can't work. It's clearly more than a bad attitude. He said, yep, that's burnout. And he said, now this is the facts. The greatest leaders in the Bible, many of them had burnout. David had burnout. Read the Psalms. Elijah had burnout, went and hid in a cave, couldn't face anyone, couldn't eat. So God's in the making of you. And he prescribed me a book written by Watchman Nee. He said, read that. He said, you're going to be fine. You'll be back in the ministry before you know it. Then he wrote out a prescription to help me sleep. Isn't that amazing? See, everything's so natural. Everything's been shut down because we must obey the rules of the system. I'm beginning to like the system because I live according to a different set of rules. They're not my own rules. They're the rules of my Father who's in heaven. And we are ones who are going to renew the system, who are going to rebuild the system because we've learned another way. You like this? Some of you look very suspicious. I could be getting myself into something really dangerous here. You probably are. But God was about ready to do something. So he said, Abram, get out of your country. And the Lord spoke to me and said, off you go. And we went and we began to find God. And then we came down to Morwell and we thought, God, have I heard you right? Have I heard you right? It was like going from heaven, Albury Wodonga, to hell in Morwell. You would do the washing in the morning and the coal dust would be on the clothes in the afternoon. That's what it was like. But then one day we'd never been to Sale and we came for a drive and we sat in Marsh's Deli out on the footpath and Lynn and myself had brought us to our homeland we didn't even know. I looked over the road at the stables and I said, one day, Lynn, there's going to be a church in there. See, God brought me right out of my homeland to a place that he showed me. Why? Because he's going to bless me. He's going to bless me. He is. And you know what? Anybody that picks on me, it just is not going to go well for them. Because God has made a feast for me in the sight of my enemies. So suck it in, bros. I'm here to stay. I'm a son. God is my father. God is my father. Suffer because I am set free. I'm out of my cage. Yes, and I'm just getting the hang of this. And it's time. And I tell you what, oh, this is how I'm thinking, because I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Do you reckon I'm blessed, or am I telling you lies? I'm blessed, and what's in me is coming at you, and it's going to find itself on the inside of you. That's a father. I'm right in there. I'm in your face. God was about ready to do something here, so he spoke. Do you know, whenever God speaks to you, and he may be speaking to you this morning, and he may have already spoken to you and this is making sense to you, God's about ready to do something. And for you, that would be a real miracle, because for some of you have been stuck for so long. But it's like I'm standing here with the key to your cage and saying, come on out, and you've got a choice. Do you know what? An unhappy marriage is like living in a cage. I've never known what that's like, because I've never lived in an unhappy marriage, honestly. Had a couple of bad days. But generally, it's been for us heaven on earth. But I tell you, living in a marriage, you know, I've done weddings, and after the honeymoon, they've been, we want counselling. And it's been like that. It's hell. Come out of your cage. Get out of your cage. Change the way you think. God wants to set you free. God wants your marriage to be heaven on earth. If your marriage is not heaven on earth, by the way, something's got to change. And I'll tell you what that is. You. That's prophetic. You. Oh, this is rough. Coming to City Builders is like being on the Big Dipper. Whoa. Whoa. It's like being friends with me on Facebook. It's a rocky ride. Woo. I'm loving life. I'm blessed. I'm free. I'm here to set you free. Jesus said, I'm here to set you free. I am here to let you out of your cage. I'm a Jesus man. That's who I am. Get out of your cage. Yes. Of small thinking. Yeah. Good behavior. Yeah. Political correctness. Yeah. Man pleasing. Yeah. Who cares?
Yes.
It's funny, you know, I work in schools. They had this guy come, he was like a training people to do circus tricks. And he just couldn't teach me. I can't do circus tricks. And he's trying to figure me out. And he said, I've figured it out. You're a resistor. And he gave up on me. Thank God. I'm a resistor. We need Holy Ghost resistors. Do you know what? We're coming into a most amazing time in the nations, because the nations have been taught to rebel. The Great Commission is going to all the world, teaching the nations, disciple the nations, teaching them to obey what I've told you. But now, because the church has been asleep, the nations have been taught to rebel. But something is about ready to break out on the earth, and I am part of that, and it is those who are going to forcefully rebel against rebellion.
Yes.
Do you like that?
Yes.
Rebel against rebellion.
Yes.
You don't have to wear purple to the LGBT thingy day if you don't want to.
Yeah.
Wear green.
Yeah.
Wear a wig. Be you. Don't be what the system says to you. You're not that.
Yeah.
I'm not against anyone at all or any group, but I'm definitely against people who tell me what to think and how to live.
Yeah.
That's not you.
Yeah. That's right.
This is untidy preaching, isn't it? That's not you.
Yeah.
That's not you guys.
Yeah.
You guys are called to be radicals on the street with me and them. I saw you just gathering around having a bit of a prayer hug with a man up shirts. I tell you, there's going to be hundreds of them in the future. Hundreds here in Sale, right across Gippsland. Amen. How you doing? Stop behaving yourself. Stop it. Be you. Be a son. Be a daughter. Be like Jesus on the earth. The system could not contain him. They said, you will behave like this. And he goes, my Father in heaven, I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to do what I see him doing up there because I am a son. Yes. Now, this is real Christianity. Yes. Counterfeit Christianity is where you go to church, sit in rows, hear the message, believe that you'll never, ever be good enough to make it into heaven, and you'll behave yourself and you'll do what everyone tells you for the rest of your life. Not you. Declare war on humanism. The government is not going to be here to help you in your old age. But God will be. God will be. God, my Father in heaven, his name is Jehovah Jireh. I will lack no good thing. Get your eyes off systems. Get your eyes off the government. Be the government. You'll hear this preached nowhere else in Australia, I'll guarantee. I went to a thing, Heidi, she just did such a great job. She spoke at Crossway Baptist to a packed house the other day. It's really cool. And one of the guys on the panel said, be nice to your politicians. I'm still thinking through that point. Depends who the politician is. It's funny watching your face. You reckon I'm funny, you're funny. Should you be nice to someone who's going to support babies being ripped out of the womb and dismembered? I think we've got a responsibility to love, but we've got to speak the truth right in there. We are not here to please anyone. We are here to execute the kingdom of God on the earth. That's what sons and daughters are. This is wild. This is radical. This is liberating. This is what people have got to hear all over the nation. Stop being nice. Jesus was not nice. John the Baptist was not nice. Brood of vipers, what brought you out here? That's rough. This is literally my journey. God said, get out of your homeland, because God wanted to break down the family pressure. Do you know what? One of the biggest things that people have is family pressure. Because families, and my family's like this. I'm like this. Children, this is how you will live. Now, that's all right if it all stacks up with God, but you've got to find yourself. You've got to find yourself. God may even call you out of this church to get you out to a place where you can think. Religious pressure. My family were very Irish religious people. I had to fight that. I could never get free from it. You know, everybody was telling me how to live. My brothers were very naughty. I had to get out from them, get away from them. Four big brothers can be intimidating. God called me out from my mother and my father. Do you know what? My family reacted to me. They wanted to shoot me because I said I'd found God and I'd gone against the religion that I was raised in. Do you know what? God was raising me to be a prophet to my family. Do you know what? Sometimes your family react to you because God's raising you to be a prophet. Do you know Joseph was, his family reacted to him. They were gonna kill him. Settled for throwing him, you know, they're gonna throw him in the pit. They settled for selling him off. Do you know what? Bishop Brian over there just said something really good. He said, hate is one of the energies that elevates you into your destiny. Don't try and please everyone, especially Christians. They're the hardest. No one else gives a rip, but the Christians, they go, what's he doing that for? Religion can be a problem. My family were religious. Cultural pressure. You know, culture is the set of rules and norms that we're raised under, and they say this is how you believe. So nations abound in poverty, but God wants to set you free. Here's what it says. I'll make you a great nation. Jesus is saying to you today, I'm going to make you. I'm going to make you, Aaron. I'm going to make you. I'm going to build you. I'm going to make you stronger. People may even misunderstand you because you've got a little bit of a sharp tongue in your mouth. But that sharp tongue is what God put in there.
Yeah,
that is Aaron, daughter of God. Yeah. Don't you ever doubt who you are.
Yeah, that's right.
Need to be nice to mum though. Or you won't get far. See, I'm on your side too, Jill. I'll make you. I'll make you. God's going to make you, Nita. Gosh, you're beautiful. You're strong, but God's making you. You're like a diamond. He's just polishing you.
Yeah,
that's good. You, Joe. Gosh, you can talk yourself out of success. You are a daughter of God. You are a precious young lady. You're a standout in this community. People love you. They come back to your shop because you're there. Now, don't you worry. You're going to have your shop. You're going to have your business. You're going to have everything you need because you're a daughter. Do you know what? Good dads want to give their daughters everything. Well, you got a good dad. Amen. Stop just living this confined, conformed life in your thinking. I'm going to make you. I'm going to make your name great. Guess what, city builders? Listen here. God's going to make the name City Builders great. It's a great name. Do you know we made it into The Age a couple of weeks ago? They said City Builders is one of the churches that had taken over the Liberal Party. Look how many are here. We made it into The Age. City Builders. Churches like City Builders. God's going to make our name great. I don't need to have a great name, but God's going to give us one. You believe it? You believe that? Come on, you need to be proud in the right way who you are and who you're connected with. You need to be able to go, I belong to the best church in Gippsland. Stop being conformed to what other people think. They go, you can't do that. When Jesus came into the earth, they said, who do you think you are? That's religious speech. God's going to raise us. He's going to raise us. Are you in that army?
Yes.
Then this means I'm going to give you a few things you've got to do because we've got to do some stuff. I'm going to make your name great. Do you know this? Heidi, I couldn't believe it when I did my little speech over there. She'd sent me a text when she was in the middle of the bun fight. Her photo's on the front of the New York Times. For all the right reasons. But see, if you're sitting in church and you're a conformist and you're well behaved, nothing like that's ever going to happen. It's what God says about you. I'm going to make your name great in the earth. Yours. Turn to the person next to you and say, yours.
Ours.
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 Ours. not theirs. Now, see, that's the religion in you. Say ours, not theirs. I'm talking about the devil. Who said that? Michael. Now, when God speaks like this to you, something of great consequence is about ready to happen. Okay? Here's Abram. He's living life. His dad's a moon worshipper. So I guess I'll be a moon worshipper. But then God speaks to him. He says, Abram, I'm singling you out. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. Wade Hunt, I'm calling you out. Sam Murphy, I'm calling you out. Jaden, you've been called out. Matt's only week four. I'll just give him a few more to get used to it. Tim Wallace, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out, man. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. Come on. Come on. Woohoo. That's how it is. Sit down. Anything can happen at City Builders. This guy, he is a champion. I'm calling you out. Now, when I'm saying that, the God behind me is calling you out. I'm going to use you. This is God saying this. So when God begins to speak like this, there's huge consequences. He said, Abram, come on, because I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make you a great nation. I am going to bless you. Not for you, but so you, through you, all the families. Do you know what? We have not got the reality of this message. We are not demonstrating. It's time for us to reach every unreached person in this city. We need to change. You do, I do. We need to be every Sunday inviting half a dozen people. It's so easy with Facebook now. Invite them. Say, it's time. Do you know what? We had a couple that were very, let's face it, different. Weird. Different? Different. Let's settle for difference. They invite us to church 7 times. We said, nah, not interested. Nah, not interested. And one day pulled out the old card and said the Pope's the Antichrist. That didn't do his cause much good. We'll go, what? And then about the 7th time in, we went to church. And that was how God brought us in. Come on, let's change. Let's stop thinking of just sitting in the seat and, you know, let's think, what can I do this week to get in somebody's headspace? You know, to be a blessing. Like I said, blessing. God's in me. I am going to put God in you.
Yes.
Our neighbours, when we're in Allen Way, there were 2 sisters living over the road. And one of the daughters started coming to our events that we used to have. And the big sister said, your family are putting God in my sister. How else does it happen? You got to get like this. We're in the time now where people are going to begin to rebel against rebellion. Stop rebelling against me. Guys like me, and rebel against rebellion. We'll be on the same team then. All right. When God speaks like this, he's about to do something of great consequence. Something's going to happen. Abram became Abraham. Abram is like that person that's sitting there. But then all of a sudden, somebody came along to Abram and put God on the inside. Abraham. It's Abram with I am in the middle. Cool. See, sometimes we've got it in our head. Do you know, Abram was the father of Ishmael. Abraham was the father of Isaac. This is powerful when you look at this. Abram was Terah's son. Abram was Terah's son. Abraham was God's son. This is lineage. See, sometimes we're living under an old natural lineage and we're bound there, Tim. Is this right? Jacob was Isaac's son. Listen, this is great. Jacob was Isaac's son. Israel was God's son. This is why religion is powerless. Do you get that? Jacob was Isaac's son. But when he had the battle with the angel at Jabbok, he said, "What's your name?" The angel said, "What's your name?" "Jacob's my name. Not from this day. You are now Israel." God changed his name. And the change of name reflects a change of nature. Isn't that good? Abram, even though he had a promise from God, Abram went and found a concubine or something. Her name was Hagar, and produced Ishmael. But Abraham, by faith, believed God, counted the promises as a reality, and Sarah, at age 99, conceived internally, and Isaac was born.
Yes.
Who was the father of Isaac? Abram or Abraham? It's what spiritual fathering is all about. It's all about changing your lineage. Because your old lineage needs to be cut off. Your old lineage can only operate on the earth. But the new lineage, where you are connected to your Father in heaven, you become a son, you become a daughter, you begin to speak, and things happen because sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Bible's an amazing book. No wonder it's banned in 32 countries. Because this book has the operational dynamics locked in it that will change the destiny of nations. Wow. Jacob. Whoa. A new name was given by God that reflected a new nature. Someone reminded me that my name is my surname is Heath. It means wasteland. So I started to do the calculations on that. Okay, my surname's Wasteland. I've got a coded name. My second name is Joseph, which means he will add. My first name is Brian, which means strong and victorious. Now, everything in the Jewish language goes backwards. This is what my coded name means. I will add strength and victory to the wasteland. Yeah. You like that? Whoa, that's me. Suck it in. Come on.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Yeah.
Samuel. Yeah. Samuel, none of the words dropped to the ground.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, God's got to change your name. He's got to change your nature. You are not just, I'm not just a wasteland. I tell you what, Israel was a wasteland until God called the nation back. Now it is in full bloom. It's in full blossom. Why? Because God added strength, victory, prosperity to the wasteland. Man, I'm an on-time leader. I'm nobody. I'm somebody. Mari, am I on the right track here? Just do a theology check. I think this is even spinning Mari out. You're doing all right?
Yeah.
See, you believed everything everybody ever told you, and that's your problem.
Yeah.
Except me. Just getting in your face. A new name given by God is reflected by a new nature and demonstrated by a transformed lifestyle, Wade. The proof is in the pudding. You get full of God and your nature changes. See, the Bible says that we're partakers of the divine nature. We've got an old nature. And every now and again, my old nature just takes charge. But we are partakers of a divine nature. And the more we give ourselves to the divine nature, the more like God we become. Yeah. Stop being well behaved. Yeah. Keep drawing the divine nature in. Yeah. Don't worry if your carnal nature plays up every now and again. It's normal. Yeah. As it says in Matthew chapter 16, 13, yeah. Simon,
yes.
You are Peter. And on this rock I'll build my church.
Yes.
Simon means reed. Peter means rock.
Yeah.
God wants to give you a new name. Yeah. My own spiritual father, Jonathan David, he was brought up as the son of a Hindu priest. And he was named after Hindu gods. But when he became a Christian as a, I think around about 15, he went down and sat on the beach at Malacca and he said, Heavenly Father, what will my name be? And the Lord spoke to him and said, you are now Jonathan David. And the name Jonathan David has defined his ministry ever since. Change of name, change of nature. Who are you? See, you've been locked in your prison long enough. I want to set you free this morning. Saul became Paul. Saul, the persecutor of the church, became Paul, the apostle and father of the church. Isn't that amazing? I think there's some real keys in here. I want to give you a key this morning. The key is in verse 4. It says, so Abram departed as the Lord said.
Yes.
That's your key this morning. Abram departed as the Lord said. Sometimes you just got to move. It doesn't mean moving church or moving geographically. Just let go of your position, of what you're holding. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken. And oh, wow. That was the beginning of great blessing. It's a good message, hey?
Yeah.
You won't hear this everywhere. Because people are too busy telling you, you'll be right. Grace will cover you. Abraham became the beginning of a new tribe. Abram passed away. Abram no longer existed. That's the old man. The old man is gone. Behold, the old is passed away and the new has come. Abram was a type of the new creation. Isn't this good?
Yes.
This is revelation.
Yes.
He was the beginning of a new order. I read something just yesterday which is so good. George Soros. Have you heard of him? He's not a very nice man. But he said, Donald Trump has all but destroyed the New World Order. Thank God. A new order. Abram introduced a new order. It's called the Order of Melchizedek. Because Abram, get out of your own homeland. Come to a place I'm going to show you. And he went out there. As he went there, you find it in Genesis chapter 14. He met a man called, can you remember his name? Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was the high priest. And it says that he, in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, he came out to Abram and he said, Abram, this is bread and wine. Take communion with me. Isn't that amazing? This is Old Testament. Before Christ, do you know why we take communion? Because we are remembering the patterns in the scripture and we must never forget to take communion. The order of Melchizedek. In a lot of the contemporary church now, they don't have communion at all because it just doesn't fit the program. and nobody knows what the order of Melchizedek is. But you belong to the order of Melchizedek. You don't belong to this earthly system that is going to fail. You are sons and daughters of Abraham. This is reality. Man, you get this, and you, everything I've been saying to you will be decoded for you. This is not hit and miss. This is why people are missing it, though. Thoughts on this as we get ready to finish. Firstly, we need to give God a different response to what we've been giving Him. If you want to come into this new place, you've got to learn to give God a different response. Sometimes we give God an aged response. Like people come into the church and, whoa, yes! I was like that. But then after you've been in church for 10 years, 15 years, you give God a predictable response. Is this right, Beck? Do you know what predictable response is? When people give you a predictable response, as a worship leader, you would know that, wouldn't you? But we need to learn to give God an obedient response. And an immediate response, He said, hey, Abram, I'm going to take you out now. And this is what I'm going to do in you. And it says, so Abram departed, as the Lord said. Immediate, and 100% obedient. Number two, a lifestyle that demonstrates faith.
Yes.
Faith. Yes. Abraham is known as the father of faith. If we are really of that seed, do you know the sign in our church will be faith. Not good behavior necessarily. Although that's nice. If we treat one another nicely, we love one another, we do all those things, but faith. Faith calls those things to be not. You know, Abram was an Old Testament leader, Abraham, but says in the scripture he was totally convinced and wavering not in faith, believed the promises that were given him, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Do you know what? The thing that pleases God the most is when he sees faith in his sons and daughters. Do you know what? Faith has got a voice. Faith speaks. Faith speaks on the street corners. Faith goes into dark places in the city and drags people out. Faith has a voice in the newspaper and in the media. Faith reaches out. Faith will go after every man in Gippsland and rescue them, rescue their families. Faith invites people to church. Faith says, I will break out of this cage I'm in. Faith will raise the dead. Faith will heal the sick. Faith speaks. Yes. Unbelief is quiet and reserved. That's why I could become like you, but I'd much prefer it if you became like me. I was out there, I was at GLS just 2 weeks ago, and a friend of mine was sitting behind me, Derek Ott. I said, how you doing, Derek? And he said, really good. And I said, what's been going on? And he said, I just raised my first person from the dead. I said, what happened? And he said, I was in Mexico. I came across a car accident and there was a man on the road and he was very dead. I said, what'd you do? He said, I just grabbed him and I spoke life into him and he walked away. So, as we're having this discussion, Tim Wallace enters into the equation. And I said to him, I said, you know, this guy's been really battling this depression thing. There's just still a bit of a residue. And Derek prayed. The rest is history.
Yeah.
Amen. Faith.
Yes. Yes.
Faith will call those things that be not as though they were. Faith speaks. Faith prays. Faith reaches out, reaches out, reaches across every barrier. It'll go across and go, I want you to come with me. That's faith.
Yeah.
Unbelief goes, we'll just pray and see what God does. Faith needs to be found in you. Faith is an energy. Faith will make you get out of a car. Now, I tell you what, this just happened to me because we were walking down the road in KL before we went to GLS, and a motorbike came, and I think I was walking along beside you, and this guy got hit, and I just was so drawn to that man. Do you know what? That's faith. But what happens, reason takes over and pulls you back. Faith. This house, every Sunday, we should have 20 or 30 new ones. Why? Because we have faith. This is the way it's going to be. Let's start next week. Let's demonstrate our faith. If they say, you know, you ring 20 people and 20 of them say, nah, why would I have church? On the seventh time, you might get someone like us. But faith goes through every barrier, every barrier. Yeah. Yeah. Faith will break through. Yes. Yes. Faith does not worry. Yes. Yes. Faith does not get overly emotional. Yes. I think I'm overly emotional this morning. Faith is not overly emotional. It is gonna get the job done. Yes. It's going to change the nation. Yes. And God gives you faith according to the calling on your life. We are here to rebuild the city, to rebuild families, to rebuild the nation, to rebuild Zion. That is us. Is that good?
Yes.
What are you worried about? Me or you? We need to give God a faith-filled, hungry, faith's hungry. Faith wants a dead body to raise from the dead. I've tried a couple of times. The response was not overwhelming. But at least I tried. I'd try for you.
Yeah, that's right.
If I went, ring Shay, I'm not that confident in you guys. But you want to get in there and command that body to live. Speak to it.
Yes.
Faith speaks.
Yes.
That's an incredible story about Shay. Young man dropped dead on the way to work in the morning, 33. And he was dead. Faith speaks. Faith's got a voice. Faith's got an energy about it. Number three, connecting to God in a different way. Abram went out and found Melchizedek. He went out there. And do you know what he did? He took communion with him. He became one with him. He paid his tithe to them. He paid his tithe. What's that all about? Do you know what? When you give a tenth to God, you are confirming your covenant with him. You just can't do the sums in our life. It doesn't make sense. But God has continually blessed us. One of my pastor friends had to close his business in Melbourne just in this last fortnight. $150,000 debt. Walking away thinking, what will God do? Church, just a dozen people. Someone turned up with their checkbook and paid the debt out. I tell you, the Bible says, try me in this. Yeah. Test me in this. Yeah. Will I not open the windows of heaven? Have we had that happen? Once, twice. My God, it's our life.
Yeah.
Abraham found Melchizedek. And what happened with Abram? Abram had no pathway into heaven. He was a natural man, but a believer. A lot of people are like that. But when he found Melchizedek, Melchizedek opened the heavens for him. And as he gave into him, the heavens became opened over Abram's life, and Abram could not contain his blessings even to this day.
Yeah, that's right.
See, it was a spiritual father that empowered Abram to become Abraham. Melchizedek introduced Abram to a covenant lifestyle. It's good, isn't it? Never learned this stuff in Bible college. That's why we're turning out, nothing changed. We're called to bring heaven to earth. We're called to rebuild cities. We're called to rebuild the nation. I'm going to make your name great. You. You. But there's always an if. Number four, draw the patterns into our life. We need to draw the patterns of the kingdom of heaven into our life. There's what's coming from the earth and there's what's coming from above. And we need to draw what's coming from above. Abram drew what was from the earth and it produced Ishmael. Abraham drew what was from heaven and it was the son of promise. Is that good? Continually draw the new nature in. Cut off the old nature. If you want to walk under God's blessing, if you want God's blessing in your marriage, it's a great place to practice because you've got to begin to cut off the old. Cut off the old and draw in the new. The spirit of adoption brings you to the new. It brings you into the new. It cuts away everything that holds you out of that place of blessing. Culture must be transformational. Our church has got a transformational culture if you become part of it. Number five, we need to continually connect to the high priest of that new order. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 that Jesus is the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. So you can become a believer in Jesus. But when you begin to realize that he is the high priest and Jesus is the high priest of that order, then the heavens become open over your life. It has the power to change your health, to change your status in life. It has the power to transform your thinking. But the biggest battle I have right now is guess what? Your thinking. What do you reckon about that, Timmy?
You know, because, you know, what we think is it will bring the patterns or we will just continue to be stuck in the old way. That's why our, you know, it says, do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yep. Yeah. Amen. Amen. How long have I been telling you that?
Since I met you.
10 years? When did you decide this is probably right?
A few hours ago.
There's my problem. Oh man, God's got so... I reckon with messages like this, you've got to listen to them over and over and over and over and over again until your head changes. And the biggest problem is the patterns of the old nature. Abram, his old nature produced Ishmael. His new nature produced Isaac, the son of promise. I really believe we're not the biggest crowd. But I really believe it's time for us to step into this realm of blessing. Step into the new. Become part of the new. Cut off the old. Let a new pattern of behavior and thinking come into your life. One last thing, I want to tell you about a vision I had. And this was when just a matter of weeks after I first went to the School of the Prophets in Malaysia. I came home. Our church was down in... opposite Bunnings there in the car park, and we'd had church, and I went home and I lay on my bed in Warwick, and this is the absolute truth. I saw, it's only ever happened to me once in my life, but I had a open vision. And I was lying on my bed, and I sat up on my bed, and it was like watching a picture projected onto the wall in front of me. And in this thing, I was pushing up against a big steel door, and I was on my own, and I was pushing against this thing. I couldn't open it. And then all of a sudden, someone came through and stood with me and began to push it. Then another one. And it was like four or five people came through and began to push it. Then this door opened up. And I had no idea how big that door was, because God pulled me back from the picture. And it was like tens of thousands of people were running through those doors getting set free. I'm a farmer's son, and when you see sheep run, they hop. And that was what they were doing. It's like people running and jumping, and it was like they were being set free. I believe those steel doors, figuratively, are the ones at the other end of the stables. I believe when we go in there, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. But first, I'll tell you, the measure of what's going to happen depends on whether you allow your thinking to be changed. And you say, I'm becoming a son. I'm just not a regular believer. I am somebody to be reckoned with. Does that sound arrogant? You're someone to be reckoned with. So are you. So are you. I feel sometimes some of us have been knocked off the horse and we just haven't quite got back on it because we got hit. But it's time, amen. Do you want to just stand up? You good? If I were you, I'd just get here. I'd become part of this. Because you're called to it. And what God wants to do for you is natural, but there's supernatural. Some of you are just living on like a boundary fence where you feel, this is my property, I feel safe here. Don't want to cross over there. Don't want to cross over because I can't control what happens out there. I can't control what happens out there. I can only control what happens in here. Some of you are like that. The worst thing you could do is go home and not do anything with this message and not change anything. The worst thing you could do is maintain your present position. Amen. Amen. Just raise your hands. Come to church. Amen. From now on, I reckon every morning's going to be a brilliant morning. So get ready.